thinking about cost-effective ways of offering quality education at the post-primary level is one of the big challenges that countries are going to face going forward.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Every year, one in five Mexican children in middle school attends classes that are transmitted through satellite television in an educational program that is, believe it or not, more than 50 years old. Now, potentially, these telesecundaria schools solve the problem of recruiting and training teachers in rural areas. But what's been the quality of that education? Raisa Fabregas of the University of Texas has evaluated whether these schools have improved educational outcomes for their pupils, and she's here today. Raisa, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you. Hi, Tim.
Raisa, usually when we look at research about providing education in rural areas around the world, especially in development situations, we're talking about the cost of building schools and recruiting teachers, and then we talk about the cost of incentivizing the teachers to teach well. These are pretty complicated and expensive things to do, aren't they?
Yeah, I think all of these policies are complicated and expensive, but they're likely to be important. But I think that even when you have all these types of policies, one issue that remains is how do you reach students in small and remote areas, right? Especially at the post-primary level, when you start needing more specialized teachers, right? So at least in Mexico, in a sort of regular school, you'll have a teacher per subject at the middle school level, right? So you'll have your chemistry teacher and your history teacher and your math teacher. But when you're a budget-constrained government and you think about, well, how are you going to offer a similar service in a rural community when there are perhaps, I don't know, 20 or 30 children, that's the hard question, right? Because the cost per student of having all these teachers in the school becomes really high. Different countries have tried different things to solve this problem. And maybe it's about trying to maintain a model where there's only one general teacher that perhaps is not as knowledgeable in all the different subjects. Another option might be to like condense demand, right? And try to bring students from different communities into a central location. But then you have the issue that schools might be very far for some of these students. They might decide to drop out of school. Another thing that governments can try to do is to use technology, right? To offer distance education programs for these areas.
The expansion of primary education, which has been a huge success around the world in the last half a century, creates a need as well as an opportunity, doesn't it? Because suddenly you have partly educated 11-year-olds looking to continue an education. And what do we do about that?
Yeah, exactly. So I think we have seen this massive growth in primary school enrollment in low and middle income countries over the last few decades. And I think on average, about 90% of school age children at that level are enrolled in school. And that's great. But, you know, as more people get education, there's higher demand for the next level. And this is also true as economies grow more and move away from agriculture and into other sectors like services, where there's more demand for these types of skills. So thinking about cost-effective ways of offering quality education at the post-primary level is one of the big challenges that countries are going to face going forward.
So tell me how the telesecundarias work to solve this problem.
Yeah, so telesecundarias are very interesting. So you want to think of them as middle schools, so grade 7 to 9th, where there is still a school building, right? And where groups of students sort of like still go to this school building. But what happens in the telesecundaria is that these groups of students sit down together and they watch televised lectures under the supervision of one teacher. So lessons are broadcast every day. And they last about 15 minutes. So maybe it's like 8 in the morning and then you have your math class. And so this generalized teacher turns on the TV. Students watch that 15-minute lecture on some math concept. Then they turn off the TV and start solving some problem sets, some exercises with the help of that one teacher, right? So you want to think of it as a hybrid model, where you still have someone who can help the students with their schoolwork, where you still have the discipline of the classroom. But the key difference with respect to a regular school is that the telesecundaria model only requires a teacher per grade instead of a teacher per subject, right? So that's where it becomes more cost effective. On the one hand, you can have great teachers explaining hard concepts via television. So you can pick the best teachers in the country to really explain these complicated math concepts. And that might be great. So you have that aspect. You could also think that telesecundarias might address delivery issues in education. So in some of these rural areas, teacher absenteeism might be a problem. And, you know, telesecundaria makes you less reliant on individual teachers showing up. But on the other hand, you do lose the flexibility of adapting the lessons to the classroom and targeting where the students are, right? Because whatever you watch, whatever is being broadcast in the television, that's what you're getting. And so telesecundarias, as you said, have been operating since the late 1960s. And the idea was to offer an option for students in rural areas. And these students would probably have dropped out if there was no other type of middle school alternative. And, you know, they have been fully integrated into the national education system. About, you said, 20% of students in middle school in Mexico attend a telesecundaria. That's about 1.4 million students. It's a huge model in the country. And more recently, the model has also extended to high school. So there's now the called telebachilleratos, which is the high school level equivalent.
Hybrid models like this are pretty controversial in 2021. So does everyone in Mexico think that these schools are a good idea?
The model is actually been subject to a lot of debate. So I think on the one hand, the system has been operating at scale for decades, right? And it's offering an educational opportunity to underserved populations that otherwise might have left school. If you read some documents from the World Bank, they often refer to telesecundarias as the success story in the use of technology. So there's this view that telesecundarias are actually very successful. But on the other hand, I think that there is many people in Mexico that think that this model is just inferior or it's just lower quality. You often see that people emphasize that when you compare students' test scores in standardized tests between telesecundarias and other types of like regular schools, telesecundaria students are consistently outperformed in these kind of exams. It's hard to say how much this has to do with the delivery model and how much these differences are just because you're comparing different populations, because telesecundaria students often come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. I think with this debate, one of the issues is that people might have different counterfactuals in mind of what would be the alternative. For some people, the question is telesecundaria a sufficiently good replacement for in-person learning, for the traditional model of a teacher per subject? For other people, what they're really trying to think about is the telesecundaria better than having no school at all? So are there any gains from sitting down and watching these programs, or just sort of you should drop out of school? And if you start reading more about recent work in education, my take is that using technology to completely bypass teachers is often a bad idea. So when you compare in-person models versus computer-assisted learning or something that replaces a teacher, usually in-person that does better. But on the other hand, when you have contexts where there is no schools or the quality of schooling is really low, that's where technology can actually improve student outcomes. It's a bit of an empirical question of how this is going to work out and what are you assuming about sort of what's the alternative?
Which means it's important to do a rigorous evaluation of the outcomes. That's exactly what you've done. You've looked at educational labour market outcomes. But that raises the question. These have been around for half a century. Why haven't they done it before?
I think that's a great question. And I think in general, there's many programs, especially in low-income countries and middle-income countries that affect millions of people have never been studied. So that's maybe on us, the researchers, to do a better job of that. I've seen a lot of work on digital technologies and computer-assisted learning and trying to think about more sophisticated ways of reaching students. But I think that to a certain extent, we have to be pragmatic and realize that for many students, access to computers and the internet is still not commonplace, right? So a system like telesecundaria that has been operating for decades, it's important to understand, especially if it affects millions of people every year. Something that I think it's also interesting is that this is not that rare of a system. When I started looking into it and reading about this type of delivery model, I realized that in Europe in the 1950s, many countries have similar systems. So the telesecundaria model is actually based on an Italian telescuola delivery model. And other countries like Ivory Coast, El Salvador, American Samoa also had television-based schooling programs. These were later abandoned. There's many countries, especially in Latin America, that have telesecundaria schools, but they're not at the scale in which they operate in Mexico. definitely something that we should be investigating a lot more. There's not a lot of work on this. I should say that there's other researchers starting to work on this topic. And I think there's a lot of dimensions that could be studied about these schools and how to improve them. Lots of work in the future on this. The other thing I want to mention that I think it's interesting about the lack of knowledge in this service or about how this service works, there has been a lot of research work about the Mexican conditional cash transfer program. So this was one of the first conditional cash transfer programs that incentivized families to send their kids to school, particularly at the post-primary level, really thinking about like, how do you keep families in Mexico to send their kids to middle school? But I don't know if many people know this, but for the majority of kids in rural areas that participated in this program, the telesecundaria was sort of like the only option for middle school, to the extent that everyone's also studying what are the long-term effects of these conditional cash transfer programs in terms of gains in human capital for these students. I think we need to be aware that at least in the context of Mexico, they're going to be mediated through the quality of the schooling, and that's a telesecundaria.
So it's very difficult to do a rigorous evaluation of what the quality of this education is. How did you go about it?
What happened in Mexico is that in 1993, there was a change in the constitution that made middle school mandatory. And so that meant that the government was officially required to guarantee schooling access for children in the country. Between 1993 and about 2000, about, I think, 6,000 new telesecundarias opened in the country, most of them targeting rural areas. And so what I end up doing is that I use this telesecundary expansion to understand what are the long-term effects of people exposed to this school construction. I implement differences in differences strategy, where basically what I do is compare the outcomes of those people who were 12 years of age or younger in 1994, and they could have still benefited from the construction of a new school in their municipality, right? Because they're young enough. Against the outcomes of those who were 15 years old or older in 1990. So they were too old to benefit from a middle school. They already left school. And make that comparison between municipalities that experienced high intensity of growth telesecundarias versus low intensity of growth of telesecundarias. And my analysis is going to focus on rural municipalities because I think that's the main objective of the program was to target these areas. I controlled for other pretreatment municipal characteristics to try to make the case that municipalities with low and high telesecundary intensity were good counterfactuals for one another. And what I end up estimating are what I call the intention to treat effects, right? Which are what is the impact of telesecundaria opening at the municipal level?
And so, Raiso, what does this come up with? What's the educational outcome?
I measure impacts for people in 2010. So once they're adult, they're between 20 and in their 30s. So not surprisingly, I find clear gains in educational attainment. One additional telesecundaria per 1,000 children in the area led to an overall increase of about 0.2 years of education. And as expected, the effects are concentrated at the middle school level. What happened in these municipalities when they opened this telesecundaria, I see these students, or well, they're not students any longer, they're adults, but these people are 4 percentage points more likely to have completed middle school. Interestingly, I also find effects in the probability of completing primary school. So it suggests that some people might have dropped out of primary school because they thought there was no point in continuing. But now that they're in middle school, they complete it. And I also see some suggestive evidence that they were more likely to enroll in high school.
Well, as you say, they're adults now, so do they have better labor market outcomes as well?
So that's a million-dollar question, right? Because you could think that these children just sat down and there was a TV show in the background and they learned nothing. So the question is, how much did their labor market outcomes improve and other measures of living standards? Mm-hmm. It's useful to separate effects for men and women because labor force participation of women in this sample is relatively low. So, not many women work for pay. For men, as adults, those who were exposed to the telesecundaria expansion, I find that they're 1 percentage point more likely to be employed. They're more likely to be in the service sector. And they're also more likely to have higher earnings. So these increase by approximately 3% over their mean earnings. So this is about $6 additional per month. Some gains in terms of earnings, which is something that we care about. On the other hand, I don't find much evidence of labor market effects for women, but I do find that households where women were exposed to the telesecundaria openings score higher in terms of housing quality index. So this was an index composed of measures of, do you have like a cement floor or a flushing toilet and things like that. So it seems like they're doing better in that measures. The coefficients for measures of teenage pregnancies are negative, but not statistically significant. So that's not very conclusive. I think that's something that we could try to do additional work to better understand if there were impacts there. And then for men and women, I also find that both of them were less likely to receive social assistance programs in adulthood.
Did you split apart boys and girls while they're still at school in their educational attainment?
I don't find differences in terms of years of education for boys and girls. I only find them in terms of labor market outcomes, but that might also be dependent on the labor market. So they might be facing different labor markets.
Now, the internet has made remote learning more possible. It means perhaps there might be a revival in these types of learning, these types of schools, perhaps. Is there something that policymakers in other countries can learn from these schools, which now have 50 years of operation under their belts, about how to do it well?
Now countries are moving away from primary education, starting to think about the next stage. So thinking about secondary education is going to be a huge challenge, right? I think something that's nice about these more sophisticated technologies, like, you know, using computers and the internet, is that they might start to allow for better targeted instruction. So relative to telesecundaria, where it's sort of like a one-way type of system, you could start having systems where you have two-way communications, where you have feedback systems with the students. And I think countries like China are starting to do things like that at scale. I think the telesecundaria model has told us that this can be operated at scale. And I think newer technologies might take us further into offering higher quality options. On the other hand, again, I think we still need to be a little bit pragmatic about what is out there. And, you know, something that we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic, right, is that not many students around the world have access to internet and computers, and that made it very hard for them to get any kind of education with schools closed. So many countries actually relied on television to try to continue to give some sort of like educational programming to students. Now, that's going to be very different from what a telesecundaria is, right? Because you don't have the school, you don't have the discipline of having the teacher helping you and all of that. But I do think that these types of technologies are still relevant for many parts of the world. So learning about these experiences, it's certainly important. And I think there's a lot of room to really understand, given that these systems might help reach these students, how do we improve the quality of the delivery of these systems? And what are the things that work and what are the things that do not work? And so lots of work that could be done there.
Well, it's a very interesting model, Raisa. Let's see what happens in the next 5 or 10 years, see how well that's expanded in other countries. Thank you very much for talking about it today.
Yeah. Thank you.
The paper is called Broadcasting Human Capital, The Labour Market Effects of Mexico's Telesecundarias, and the author is Raisa Fabregas. You just heard from her. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform. And our past episodes, as ever, are at voxdev.org.